outside. All of them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Monday, January the 5th, 2026, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when we have enemies that have sworn themselves to our utter ruination and destruction. You know, in previous programs, folks, I've always said, go and watch one of the Terminator movies in order to get an idea of what it is that our enemies have planned for us. But actually, a better way to put that is to go look up what's happened in Gaza for the last 2 years. Gaza's just the opening act of what this enemy that has been stalking us and seeking our destruction since the day that Cain murdered Abel, what they have in store for us, folks. Gaza's just the opening act. It's just the hors d'oeuvre. It's just target practice. Anyway, folks, we have what I hope will be a very interesting and informative program today. We've been away from things for a while, not because there aren't interesting and important things going on, but rather because there are. And quite frankly, folks, as I get older, I just get slower. You know, with all of us, I guess this is just comes with the territory. But, you know, I don't jump the gun as much as I did in years past. I tend to look at things for a little bit before arriving at any conclusions for several reasons, one of which is as best as I can before I turn in my test. I want to make sure that I go over and look at all of the answers and make sure that they're correct or as close to correct as possible. This does matter, folks, because, again, when Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, Superman, folks, that's what that's the new image that I would like to use in thinking about Jesus Christ as Superman, which of course really would infuriate the Jews, especially the Jewish writers who conjured up this idea of Superman, in which they have always said in interviews they based it upon the Jew, that Superman, Clark Kent, was based on a Jew. Anyway, folks, you know, we are commanded by our commander-in-chief as Gentiles. We are commanded by our commander-in-chief to seek the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, there's a lot in that very short statement, folks. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In the first case, the use of the verb shall, of course, it has two meanings, folks. It means, you know, like, I shall go to bed tonight, meaning I'll go to bed later. It's a future tense. And I tell one of my kids, you shall go out and bring firewood up to the house for the night, meaning you're going to do this. You're commanded to do this. So that's kind of how I take the statement on the part of our commander-in-chief, King of the Gentiles, Jesus Christ, that we are obligated to seek the truth, to know the truth. And only by knowing the truth will we be set free. And this is the reason, folks, why I try to hold back on jumping the gun, as a lot of people do, particularly with these important things taking place these days, important things that are going to be the deciding factor whether or not any of us live through it. As we've said many times on this program, folks, we live or die based upon the kinds of conversations that are taking place. And the kinds of conversations that are taking place are a reflection of what people are thinking. And if they're not thinking the right thoughts, then the wrong conversations are taking place. And of course, as we have said many times, as we have used as an example, the immediate aftermath of 9/11. In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, everybody in the United States believed, swallowed whole hog, the lies that were told to them about how Ahab the Arab and the Muslims did this because they hate us for our freedom, and so we have to go over there and kill them on their streets before they come here and kill us on ours. And because everybody didn't have the truth, folks, this horrible thing took place, not just for the people in the region, but for the world as a whole. Now, having said all of that, folks, obviously lots of things have happened since we were last together, not the least of which is this recent event involving the arrest of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. And folks, unfortunately, predictably, there has been little to no deeper discussion on this taking place within that neighborhood that we now have crowned with the title the conspiracy movement. Okay, it's not the truth movement, folks. It's the conspiracy movement. That is the glue that kind of holds everything together. And the weirder the conspiracy, the better. Of course, we don't need to dwell too much on it, but the whole Sandy Hook hoax business was an example of that. The weirder, the more outlandish it is, the better it is. And, you know, it's funny, I was watching Tucker Carlson's most recent podcast, and I believe the person that he had on was Ian Carroll. I guess this guy is some type of a researcher. Again, folks, I apologize for not being as up to speed on things as perhaps I should be. But I don't. I really don't know who's out there these days and what they're saying anymore. Because, you know, as I've said before, I only have a limited amount of attention span, and so I don't. You know, I can't sit and listen to a radio program for an hour or for 3 hours or for 5 hours. I know people that will listen to podcasts that go for 5 hours. I don't know how anybody could do a 5-hour podcast. I don't know how anybody could listen to a 5-hour podcast. Nevertheless, I suppose this Ian Carroll is a researcher or something, and they were talking about the mass shooting in Las Vegas several years ago. The biggest mass shooting in America. And one of the things that they brought up in the conversation is how the issue of Sandy Hook, the Sandy Hook hoax, meaning all of this nonsense that was dumped into the collective consciousness of what was at that time the truth movement about how no shooting took place, how no one died, and blah, blah, blah. And so Tucker Carlson and his guest, Ian Carroll, talked about how that issue was used to shut down any substantive investigative discussions about what really happened in Las Vegas. You had people doing very responsible investigative journalism and research, and they were having their Facebook pages closed down and their Twitter accounts closed down so that they couldn't get any information out. And the justification that was used by these social media outlets who shut them down was, this is just like the Sandy Hook business. So you see, folks, I guess what I'm saying here in so many words is that when individuals such as the late, great, and greatly missed Mike Piper, and yours truly, and a small, very small handful of others were warning everybody that this Sandy Hook hoax business was an intelligence operation aimed at kneecapping what was at that time the 9/11 truth movement. Well, folks, we were right. And this latest incident, this latest appearance on Tucker Carlson's program talking about that is just one more brick in the wall, as the saying goes. Anyway, folks, we are joined by our good friend Stas. I will be bringing him up here in a bit. I mentioned, folks, that I am slowing down as I get older, and apparently I'm becoming forgetful as well on the last program. Apparently, I don't know that this is the truth, but I wouldn't be surprised if it were. I announced the date as October the 10th instead of December the 10th. So if indeed I did that, then folks, mea culpa. I apologize. For somebody who tries to make the claim that I am a stickler for details, I guess the proper date is one of those details that I should keep in mind. Anyway, folks, we will be bringing our good friend Stas up here in just a moment. Obviously, lots has happened, folks. You'll pardon the bad grammar. Lots has. Yeah, I guess that's fine. Lots has happened. A lot has happened. Okay. Benjamin Netanyahu, the terrorist Jew, the warlord, the Armageddonist, the guy who right now is number one in terms of the likely fulfillment of all of these prophecies that we've been told for 2,000 years about this Antichrist and who's going to throw the world into global war and will force everybody to bow down and worship him. He has been to the White House and to throttle the president on a renewed war against Iran. Now, those of you who have been paying attention, especially to the website and this program, understand or remember that we said way back when, folks, in June, when this attack on Iran took place, that it was not over. Okay, even though the nuclear facilities, you know, that Netanyahu has been crying and kvetching about for the last 40 years were destroyed, and therefore his primary reason for calling for Iran's destruction was taken off the table. Nevertheless, it wasn't it was not over, okay, because Netanyahu is not worried about an Islamic nuclear weapon. Pakistan has plenty of them. Pakistan could turn Israel into a parking lot within the span of just a few minutes. But we don't hear any agitating for war against Pakistan. No, the real issue here is that Iran is the epicenter of resistance to what it is that the Jews plan to do in the Middle East, which is complete conquest, complete subjugation, everything from the Nile to the Euphrates, exactly as it reads in the Old Testament. So anyway, the new shtick on the part of Netanyahu and the Kosher Nostra government there in Jerusalem is that Iran is building lots of dangerous ballistic missiles. Okay, and I think it was actually that goofball Lindsey Graham who said, while in Israel meeting with Netanyahu, after meeting with him, he said that Iran's ballistic missile programs now, ballistic missile program, is as much of a threat to the world as her nuclear program was. Now, folks, I'll just ask you to think back to June when this 12-day war took place and just how ineffective Iran's ballistic missiles were. Now, I know we have people out there, people such as Scott Ritter and Professor Mirandi and others, that paint a different picture entirely than what we've been told concerning the 12-day war and how Iran really kicked Israel's butt and Iran won and Israel lost. Folks, I'm sorry. I don't mean to spoil the fun here, but that simply isn't true. Okay? And this is no disrespect to the Iranian people, okay? But the Iranians got their clock cleaned, okay? It was a brilliant move on the part of Israel, okay? They spent 10 years preparing for this 12-day war. They had agents inside Iran the whole time. They built drone bases inside Iran. Okay. So, you know, this in no way is a disrespectful statement to the Iranian people, who are a wonderful, noble people. But nevertheless, you know, this notion that that the Iranians won in the 12-day war is just simply not true. Okay. They did their best, but they, you know, they, the Israel mopped up the floor with them. So this notion now that Iran's ballistic missiles pose as severe a threat to Israel as her nuclear program did, this should scare the bejeebus out of everybody, folks, okay, because Netanyahu is back. He's back with his demands on the part of the U.S. president, the U.S. military, to go to war against Iran and to finish the job, which basically means regime change, folks. They want Iran pulverized the way that Iraq was. They want it turned into a broken, dysfunctional state so that the Jews will be able to just roll over all the borders into Egypt, into Jordan, into Syria, into Lebanon, everywhere, without having to worry about Iran, which is a formidable power in the region, folks. Now, on the last program, folks, we had a very disturbing discussion about a program that was recently aired featuring this former, I would say, former high-level CIA officer named John Kiriakou. And we played on the program a soundbite of him basically filling in the blanks, folks, as to why the president launched the attacks against Iran's nuclear facilities in the manner that he did. And the reason for it, if we are to believe what Mr. Kiriakou says, and I think that even though he's not infallible, I would say that his assessment of this is probably impeccable. It's certainly beyond, it's irreproachable, beyond reproach. Okay, I mean, once you're CIA, you're always CIA, and you're going to maintain friendships and contacts with people who are still inside. And when they tell you that the reason that the president launched the attacks against Iran's nuclear facilities is because Benjamin Netanyahu threatened to detonate nuclear weapons over the city of Tehran, I think that's believable, folks. I think that's a completely believable scenario. And if that's true, and I think, well, I've said many times, folks, if I were the betting type, I would be willing to bet everything I own that that is the likely explanation as to why the president did this. Why President Trump, who promised that there would be no more wars in the Middle East or anywhere else, that he was going to be a peace president. Nevertheless, he had two evils. One of them was to see 15 million Iranians evaporated, and the other was to destroy these nuclear facilities. So the lesser of those two evils was to save the lives of 15 million Iranian people. Now, folks, the problem with this is that Benjamin Netanyahu got what he wanted as a result of making those threats to the president. Which means, you know, once it works once, you might as well keep using that threat in getting what you want. So Netanyahu was in town last week meeting with the president. trying to sell him on the idea that we have to go back into Iran and finish the job, meaning to just decapitate the government and to completely destabilize it. And then, folks, an interesting thing happens. Just a few days after the president and this terrorist Jewish warlord Netanyahu meet, very interesting thing. The United States swoops in and grabs the president of Venezuela and his wife, brings them to the U.S., at least the president, Nicolas Maduro, in handcuffs and leggings, leg chains, blindfolded, you know, basically, you know, the way that we would capture any notorious internationally wanted, you know, head of a cartel. Okay, and they made sure, folks, they made sure to blast those pictures of Maduro in that position all over the media. Now, folks, in starting off this conversation here, I'm going to tell you, first of all, if you tuned in to hear yours truly and my evil twin Saz say, okay, we cry uncle, Trump is a Zionist, he's owned by the Jews, he did this to make Netanyahu happy and to make Israel happy. If you tuned in to hear that, folks, you might as well tune out, because you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear a more detailed and complicated possible explanation. We're not saying that this is what happened, but based upon some of the facts surrounding all of this, there are reasons for us to ask some legitimate questions about this. Having said that, I'm going to bring my evil twin up, and it is the one and only irreplaceable Stas. Stas, you just heard the introduction to this thing. Did Trump do this in order to please the Jews?
No, hold he on. Did not.
Oh, he didn't.
He did
okay.
Not.
Okay. But aren't the Jews not... aren't the Jews happy about it?
No, they're not. No, they're okay. Not at all. They, in fact...
They act like they are. They act like they are.
In fact, I bet people who listen to The Ugly Truth are like, hey, we got The Ugly Truth. Trump has done it. He's attacking the global South.
Mm-hmm.
He is evil. This is all about oil, and this is all about covering up the Epstein files. This is the wagon dog. Petrol style, and we got you guys. Actually, I'm taking this as a sign that the president is still in the fight.
Yeah, he's still in the fight.
He is still in the fight.
Now, Stas, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to. Yeah. I found something very interesting about this entire thing, the first of which is that if the U.S. knew where Maduro was to arrest him, then they knew where Maduro was to kill him. So why go to this big, elaborate, through this big, elaborate demonstration of American military power? I mean, you know, it's heavy duty, and there are lots of risks involved, okay? I mean, the last thing that an anti-war president needs right now is for a bunch of American servicemen to come back in body bags, okay, in the aftermath of a regime change operation. Why not just kill Maduro? Why not just send a missile into his palace? If they knew where he was to arrest him, they knew where he was to kill him. Why did the president not do this?
I think there's a lot behind the scenes that probably nobody will unpack, and that the ugly truth will unpack. And maybe we'll get vindicated in a couple of weeks. Or
okay, well, I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why I'm going to answer
sorry to say
my
that
own
vague
question.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's all right. That's all right. The reason why they didn't kill him, folks, is because the president needed this. He needed the arrest of Maduro that really went off without a hitch, folks. There were no American casualties at all. According to the last news report that I read, it was just an in and out thing, okay? Almost as if it had been set up with Maduro ahead of time, okay? Now, the president needed this, folks, because he needed warlords like Netanyahu to see the footage of Nicolas Maduro being transported back to the United States as if he were any common criminal, blindfolded, handcuffed, leg shackles, and all of the rest of that in order to stand trial in the United States. That's why the president did this way. He needed the optics that were involved in this in order to communicate, and not just with Netanyahu, folks, with Zelensky, with these pain in the rear leaders of Europe and others. Trump has just basically said, look, our national security doctrine is very simple, okay? Anything that threatens our well-being, that threatens our interests, we're going to deal with it in the manner that we see fit. And whether it's arresting a president in Venezuela, whether it's arresting a dictator in Ukraine, whether it is arresting a prime minister in Israel, if it's in our interest to do this, we're going to do it. Now, Stas, I jokingly, you know, proddingly, I guess would be the way, suggested with my question a minute ago whether or not the Jews were happy about this business with Maduro being arrested. Now, another thing that I want to point out, folks, okay, because apparently the talk all over the blabosphere, as I refer to it, is how this was all a Zionist operation. Maduro was taken because this is what the Jews wanted. And now they're going to install a Zionist puppet in Venezuela. And folks, if all of that turns out to be the case, fine. I will cry uncle and I will say the president is a sellout, but at the same time, factoring in all of this, the fact that Netanyahu has already succeeded once in threatening the use of nuclear weapons, and so therefore we have to acknowledge now that the president, having given in to that on at least one previous occasion, that he can no longer act as the president, okay? Nevertheless, folks, think back to just, you know, before the destruction of Iraq, and this is going back the first time, okay? There were years of propaganda building up to this. Before the Iraqis had invaded Kuwait, there was all of this talk in the American Jewish mainstream media about how Saddam Hussein was this horrible tyrant and a threat to the Middle East. He had to be dealt with. This is before the invasion, okay? Same thing with Libya, folks. Same thing with Syria and Assad. When the Jews plan to destroy a country or destroy a leader, they make sure that the entire world knows that they intend to destroy a country or destroy a leader. There hasn't been any of this with Maduro, folks. Okay, I personally read the Jewish press, and by that I mean the Israeli press, every day, the first thing in the morning. Okay, Israel National News, Jerusalem Post, Ynet, Times of Israel, Israel Hayom, Jewish News Syndicate, Haaretz, all of them. That's really the only thing I read. There has been no buildup for this action on the part of the president. Netanyahu hasn't been pressing Trump to invade Venezuela and to arrest Maduro. In fact, folks, quite the opposite. The only discussion there has been up to this point about Venezuela and Maduro has been a tidal wave of screeching in the Jewish mainstream media in America against the president and against Secretary of War Hegseth for them sinking these boats, which the administration says is carrying dangerous contraband into the U.S. So, Stas, my question to you is as follows. If this recent thing that took place with the arrest of Maduro, if this was all the Jews doing, then where was all of the noise that we saw prior in, you know, prior instances where Saddam Hussein was arrested, where Libya was destroyed and Gaddafi was you know, murdered, Assad, Nasrallah, Sinwar, all of these, you know, you hear about it for years, and yet there has been no talk about this up to this point on the part of the Jewish press. So what's going on here? Did the Jews really want Donald Trump to do this?
No, the mainstream media has, in fact, except for the hard supporters of the kind of bland supporters of Trump, like your usual sources, has kind of played the oil petrol game. They've tried to paint President Trump as a bully, mostly, especially the left press is, of course, going crazy.
Colonialist, right. Imperialist.
Colonialist, right. Imperialist, and, you know, as I've probably said in it before, despite the rise of the alternative media, you still have the mouthpieces putting out the news.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't drummed it up as a threat, as they do with Iran.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mr. Netanyahu, who has done for decades that we've got to go in. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm not even so sure that this is a traditional regime change action that has been over the years, because, dare I say, the CIA, even without the Mossad, is unimaginably powerful, and they can create front companies and things like that and make a South American or Latin American dictator
spring
kind of disappear.
Yeah. The Venezuelan spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Why go through all of this business here if they can do one of their color revolutions? And have the Venezuela, I mean, let's face it, the CIA is on the ground, Mossad is on the ground. Why go through all of this unless the objective here is the optics of this president, this commander in chief being hauled out by the United States in leg irons and handcuffs and being thrown into an American jail, that he wanted the optics on this. Okay.
Absolutely. Would you say that, a theme of the ugly truth has been threat and counter threat, leverage versus leverage.
Yeah.
And you're the only site that has demonstrated that there are these things, such as, I will give you this golden pager. This is a threat against your life, Mr. President.
Yeah.
We can give this to you. And then Mr. Trump shows his massive model airplane.
Mm-hmm.
That is a threat to you, Mr. Netanyahu. You still got to fly around, Mr. Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're the best by way of deception. You are powerful, but you've got to fly. And I've got this, and I've got Qatar as my friend, so watch out where you fly, because you're wanted by the ICC as much as, you know, the gray zone or Democracy Now. Well, they're not doing anything about this ICC court ruling. Still, it exists. It's out there. And he's letting Mr. Netanyahu know, like, hey, I can make it so, you know, that you could get snatched as well. That's a possibility.
Sure.
So as much as Trump looked just down and out by the exclusively the Israeli and Democratic altered Epstein files, which are shaking the world, which go deeper, which probably have anyone you can think of, not even just Trump's allies on there, but goodness knows who is on that.
Yeah.
That's still out there. So the president, without much room to maneuver, pulls this extradition, which is not a murder,
right?
And it's not a shock and awe. So as many, and you know, and the Venezuelans have a lot of troops. Why didn't they put more of a dent? Why didn't they challenge the Americans? As to my knowledge, there are no U.S. casualties in this incursion, which is astounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, astounding. Almost as if it were set up that way.
Yeah, one can't help but wonder, is there some cooperation from Mr. Madero himself, who is, by the way, the successor to Hugo Chavez, a guy who told the truth at the UN about what's really going on. You know, much like Mr. Ahmadinejad, this is a guy who dared to tell the truth from down south. Also, the American military has a lot of energy with the Southern Command out of Fort Bragg. You know, if this is fully just a regime change, then, you know, I know Venezuela's got a lot of muscle, but you're talking about some super warriors going down there. You know, they didn't do it like the Americans did in Iraq. There's no shock.
It's over with. It's over with.
So I'm going with, it's a message for someone.
Yeah, someone's. Yes, yeah, several someone's. Well, let's zoom in on this with a magnifying glass, Stas. And I'm going to throw out maybe not a theory, but a question. And by the way, folks, all of this business that Stas and I are discussing, you know, we haven't come down on any position, you know, firmly, other than the fact that this was done for optics, okay? That the president certainly had the option at his disposal to just launch a singular missile and end the Maduro drama right there. But instead, he went this more dangerous route because he wanted the optics of that head of state being escorted into the United States as a prisoner. Okay. I'm going to toss out a possibility. Now, yes, as you said, Stas, Maduro was the chosen successor of Hugo Chavez. Okay, he was Chavez's right-hand man. And so clearly he would have, at the time, back in 2013, was it? I think 2013, when he took over. He would have probably followed along the same lines as Chavez. But what's happened in the 13 years that he's been there? What has happened between now and then? Is Venezuela of 2013, in the last days of Hugo Chavez, is it the same Venezuela today? And what I mean by this, folks, is as follows. We are told by the Jews and by their Jewish media that Venezuela is in thick with Iran, is in thick with Russia, is in thick with China. Okay, these are all nations, obviously, that the Jews view as hostiles. So the notion that Israel wouldn't try to pry Venezuela out of that sphere of influence, Russia, China, and Iran, it isn't even a possibility worth discussing. Of course, they would be in there corrupting the Venezuelan government, especially with all of the sanctions being put on it. So in the 13 years since Chavez passed away, and with the sanctions being put on Venezuela, the Jews have been going in there with their blackmail, with their bribery, and they have been corrupting that government using money and all of the other things that they use, okay? So maybe the government of Nicolas Maduro today is not the government that existed 13 years ago. Maybe he is there fighting to keep some semblance of what Chavez left him, but he's in over his head. And what I mean by that, folks, is as follows. Venezuela, the Israelis would love to have a country such as Venezuela as a forward operating base against the rest of the of Latin America and the United States. Okay, it is a place from which drugs can be shipped. And by the way, folks, I'm going to make a diversion here, but this is something that I've been meaning to bring up now for some time. Make no mistake about it, that Israel is, it is the head of all organized crime activity in the world. The money that the United States gives her. My theory these days, folks, is that the Jews don't even need that money. Okay, the $3 billion, the $4 billion, the $5 billion a year, whatever it is, they don't even need it. Okay, they are bringing in so much money with drugs, with arms trafficking, with human trafficking, you know, peddling little children, and all of the rest of that. They don't need the money from the U.S. My theory is the reason why they keep that money flowing from the U.S. is because as long as it's there, nobody's asking about where this money is coming from. If suddenly the United States stopped suckling Israel with these billions every year, but Israel was still standing on her own 2 feet economically, people would say, well, where is she getting all the money? And then they would start looking into all of the organized crime ventures that the Jews are involved in. So my theory, folks, is that the U.S. aid thing is a red herring. It's there to cover up the feds. It's in effect, a type of money laundering, okay? They make it appear that, you know, they're standing, you know, that they, it's American money that's keeping them afloat when it isn't. It's all of this organized crime money that's flowing into Israel from all over the world. Anyway, so Israel would love to have Venezuela under her thumb. They can use Venezuela as a forward operating base for establishing all of this organized crime business and political instability throughout Latin America. And I think the reason why the president has been targeting these boats, folks, is because there's something on these boats that we don't know about. Okay, we postulated on a previous program that, you know, maybe there's this new drug that the Israelis have invented that makes fentanyl look like Tylenol, okay, that's so bad that it could literally kill half of the nation in the span of a week, okay? The fact that the president went through all of this business of targeting these boats and has dealt with all of the political heat that has come from that without boarding the boats with U.S. personnel and showing, I mean, that would be the fastest way of shutting up the U.S. media, of shutting up his enemies in Congress, including many Republicans, by having U.S. personnel go on these boats and show the drugs that are being seized. Why didn't he do that? My theory is that there's something on these boats that's so bad that the only safe way to deal with this is to blow them out of the water right where they're at.
Absolutely.
Now, sorry. Okay, so let me just finish up my thesis here, folks. I'm trying to think of an avenue here to do this. I think it is possible. I'm not saying it's written in stone, folks. It's possible that the reason for the capture of Maduro, it's not a capture. Maybe he and his wife are being rescued. But the president needs the optics of this head of state being hauled back to the United States in leg irons and handcuffs in order to communicate to Netanyahu that this is what is headed his way if he keeps screwing around with the president and what he is trying to do in the Middle East. Okay? Certainly if Mossad has taken over the Venezuelan government. then Maduro would be an invaluable source of information and intelligence that he could provide to the United States. Why did they take his wife? Why would they arrest her? She doesn't have any political power. What it smells like to me, folks, is that he has worked out a deal with the president. He's going to come to the United States. He is going to provide evidence and information and intelligence on Israeli penetration of Venezuela. And look what the president said, folks. He said, we're going to take Venezuela over and we're going to run it for a while, just like he said with Gaza. So if this were just a regime change thing, why not just bring in, what's this one gal's name, Machado or something like that, that they've been talking about? Why not just bring in the replacement? Why is the United States going to stay down there? And the president even said to make Venezuela great again. These are all questions worth asking, folks. Instead of just everybody landing on the same place that they always land whenever there is an event of this type taking place. Oh, this was done to please Netanyahu. Well, maybe it wasn't, folks. And on that note, Stas, I want to read this news, this op-ed on YNET. But before I do, I want to let you weigh in on everything that I just said.
I agree with you about the boat.
Good. You should. You should. 100%. You should. 100%.
Let me add some sort of details that I hope are relevant on it. So when you talk about the business of the cartels and you talk about the DEA and you talk about drugs in this world, you're not talking about anything different than all-out war.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's no different than – and what they can do, that these cartels have soldiers. They are a threat to the United States and
absolutely.
Really – no president has really done anything about it. Also, with respect to what we mostly talk about, which is the Mr. Big, number one, is Benjamin Netanyahu and his intelligence services. And the United States is, you might say, still number one in a overt military power sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I give it to Israel. Spies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody is better.
Underground. Yeah.
Nobody is better. Yep.
And the espionage. So, and to, as a tribute to their skill, nobody has pinned drug running on Mossad in the open media.
Mm-hmm.
But there are libraries full of books that try to tie American Central Intelligence Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the mainline CIA is involved in it, but I do think the CIA is involved in drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a testament to how powerful they are. I don't think that you can...
Meaning Israel and the Mossad. That
yeah.
they can make an issue out of the CIA involvement and keep their involvement in it totally out of the picture.
They can go to the media and blame all their crap on the CIA.
Yep, right.
Which I don't think a lot of people might realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trump has there's a DEA operative that whose name escapes me from Mexico. That's a really a hero guy. There's an awesome documentary. I apologize. His name escapes me. But he's talked about how Trump said, look, I don't want war with Mexico, but I want to eliminate the cartels,
mm-hmm.
which are direct threat to Trump himself too, because
mm-hmm. absolutely.
The way to assassinate him would be to run it through the
cartel. Absolutely, absolutely.
Who know what they're doing and have their own shadow world. And to the best of my knowledge, they couldn't operate without the assistance of money laundering.
Yes, and who's best at that?
Not exactly the French, shall I say?
The Illuminati.
The
Jesuits?
Club of Rome. Certainly the Jesuits. No. It's the Israeli bankers, so the Jewish bankers.
Sure.
So people talk about all this Rothschild stuff, but then they're like, well, It's basically all going on Trump, and nobody wants to talk about Mr. Big, who gets 52 standing ovations.
Mm-hmm.
His men can totally get away clean without the same reputation as the agency. Way mm-hmm. back, director John Deutsch, who was not a Gentile, appeared in a meeting with a Democratic congresswoman, I forget, the African-American woman. Anyway, he's like, well, I'll look into that. He was basically sort of tarnishing the CIA with their just drug runners. And everybody goes mm-hmm. through that. You know, Free Ray, Ricky Ross, and Alex Jones gets on that. But squeaky clean is the Israeli intelligence. Is mm-hmm. that possible? Could they one worldwide operations without running some drug operations? I don't think so.
No. And in fact, if you go back and read Victor Ostrovsky's, both of his books, he talks about that they had penetrated the cartels, and you know they're everywhere, folks. The notion that they don't have people in the cartels, not only with their hand in the till, but providing all sorts of other distribution and intelligence services, money laundering services, and all of the rest of that, is just it's not even a question worth pursuing. The Jews are involved in the drug business down south. And this situation with Venezuela, as I said, folks, there were a lot of other things. There's an entire neighborhood of information involved in all of this that we just don't know. We don't know what was on those boats. We don't know if the government of Venezuela is the same government that existed in the days of Hugo Chavez. Certainly the Jews would have devoted a considerable amount of their resources to turning that country around for them, like they did in the Ukraine, like they did in all of these other Eastern European countries, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, after the fall of communism. So we just don't know. Now, Stas, very quickly here, I want to read an interesting article. I've not posted anything on the website about the Venezuela thing, folks, because quite frankly, I wanted to see. You can always count on a few websites in Israel. Like, for example, when the president dressed down Zelensky in the Oval Office and had his finger in his face, telling him, you don't tell us this and you don't tell us that. We said on this program, folks, immediately that he intended this message for Netanyahu. He was telling Netanyahu, imagine sitting here, Bibi. Imagine sitting here and instead of my finger in the face of Zelensky, it's my finger in your face. And there were many Israeli political writers who were saying the same thing, that this was something that should alarm Netanyahu, that it could very easily be him. Well, folks, I waited to render any commentary on this Venezuela thing until I could see whether or not any of these Jewish outlets were saying the same thing, that the optics involved with the arrest of Maduro, that this is a bad sign, because if Trump could do it to Venezuela, he could do it to Israel. Well, sure enough, folks, took a few days, but there was an article that popped up on Ynet, very, very well-read website in Israel. It's entitled, Trump's Celebration of Power Could Backfire on Israel. Okay. Under U.S. President's leadership, global diplomacy is giving way to raw expressions of power. Allies like Israel may benefit from this in the short term, but in Trump's world, strength rules and even friends risk becoming targets. Okay, now this was written by Nahum Barnea, who is, he's one of them, folks, but he has proven in previous articles he's written that he's extremely, you know, he looks at political things through a three-dimensional lens, okay? Whereas everybody else is saying, oh, this is great. Trump did this with Maduro in order to tell the supreme leader of Iran that he's next. Well, not necessarily, folks. Okay. So Barnea writes as follows. Now pay close attention to this, folks. U.S. Secretary of State and National Security Advisor Marco Rubio was tasked at Saturday's Trump press conference with explaining to the world what, quote, Trump 2.0 is really like and how to deal with him. Quote, the 47th president of the United States doesn't play games, Rubio said. When he tells them he's going to do something, he means it and he acts. Venezuelan President Maduro, Rubio said, quote, could have been living somewhere else right now, very happy, but instead he wanted to play big boy, and so now he's got other sets of problems on his hands. This president isn't looking for a fight. He's willing to get along with anyone, but don't play games with him. Don't play with this president because it will end badly. Barnea continues. He says, in international relations, what Rubio calls, quote, playing games, is simply diplomacy. Party A meets with Party B. Each comes with needs, interests, its own power, and its own sovereignty. Sometimes there's agreement, sometimes there isn't, but negotiators never deny the legitimacy of the process. Rubio says that the president sees it differently. In Trump's world, there is no room for sovereignty and little respect for diplomacy. Take someone like Maduro, until recently the president of Venezuela. He was a corrupt dictator whose regime, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't that alone that led the Trump administration to seize and imprison him in New York. His ultimate crime, in Trump's eyes, was thinking that he was big, meaning Maduro. Rubio's message to world leaders is simple. Look and learn. He speaks from experience. During the Republican primary campaign a decade ago, Trump repeatedly mocked him as Little Marco, a thinly veiled jab at his height. Marco was humiliated, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Why should this matter to the rest of us, Barnea asks? Because in the world being shaped by Donald Trump, by Putin and Xi of China, no one is immune to what just took place except these three and the power behind them. Sometimes the projection of their power works to our advantage, meaning Israel. The capture in Caracas has potential deterrent effects on Iran, perhaps even a direct blow to the Iran-Hezbollah axis. That's good, but there's no guarantee that Trump's display of force won't also turn against us. So he ends his essay saying, Israel will have to contend with this reality in the years ahead, meaning that Donald Trump is going to do what he wants and that he may actually do to Netanyahu what he just did to Maduro. Israel will have to contend with this reality in the years ahead. Power alone will determine outcomes, and therefore Israel needs a lot of power. But it must not be confused. In the eyes of its patron, the United States, it is little more than a protectorate and a banana republic, just like Venezuela, folks. And he ends by saying, every small and medium-sized state, from Ukraine to Taiwan, must now reckon with this new reality, including us. So, folks, this isn't just a theory on our part here at this humble little informational endeavor. There are other people in Israel who are thinking the same thing, and I guarantee you, folks, guarantee you, I would bet my left earlobe that when news of this happened in the immediate aftermath of Netanyahu being in the Oval Office, and yes, folks, there were lots of smiles and handshakes and all of the rest of the stuff that we are accustomed to seeing while the cameras and the microphones are on, okay? But I'm confident that when the doors were closed and the men got down to talking business, it wasn't necessarily as congenial and friendly as people think that it was, okay? And I guarantee you folks, when the news came that Maduro had been seized, arrested, and taken to the United States, Netanyahu's political advisors were going out of their minds. They were telling him, Mr. Prime Minister, the president has done this as an obvious threat to you. You know, in the same way, folks, that Netanyahu held up the cartoon of the bomb with the lit fuse and he glared menacingly at all of the people there at the UN General Assembly, and that this was a threat on his part to blow up each of their countries if they didn't get right with Netanyahu's demands. Likewise, Netanyahu's political and military advisors and intelligence advisors were telling him, Mr. President, or Mr. Prime Minister, the president did this as a message to you. Stas, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the ultimate message. It goes, if you're going to give me a golden pager, I'm going to snatch a guy and use it as a message.
Watch how easy. Watch how easy this is, Beebe. Watch how easy this is. I can do this to you. How would you like the images of you being hauled into the United States in leg irons and handcuffs, blindfolded, and all of the rest of that to stand trial in the United States? How would you like that?
I can snatch a guy in a huge country like nothing. And this doesn't rule out other techniques like, oh, I stood down. And now, Hezbollah shelled Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. Hey, they could do the same thing. That there's those stories that the Israelis, if they didn't like one of their own generals, they would sort of dumb down the security and drive him to Beirut, and the guy gets killed. So it's. I mean, the snatch is clear, but also there's other tricks that I'm sure that they're thinking about that he could do. The same thing for Zelensky, even though the British and NATO are protecting him, U.S. troops are there. The Americans are powerful enough to squash the British and the Germans and the whatever and let Zelensky get tagged. Which I know sounds crazy. But in other words, I guess what I'm saying is there are other techniques. It's message beyond that. To, at last, somebody's getting a taste of the paranoia, if you will. I know I'm going a little too far off your topic, but
No. Actually, it fits perfectly. And interestingly enough,
our Haim's thing. Oh, it didn't work. And oh, geez, Mr. Zelensky, God bless, he's been hit. You know, in other words, what they're saying in the article that you pulled out is incredible. I mean, nobody's going to look at this article of the pundits. Which this is it. He's saying Trump, Putin, and Xi don't care. In other words, Israel knows she's mighty behind the scenes. But when you square off against China, Russia, or America, straight to straight, you're going to get squashed.
Yeah.
Even though
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Sorry to interrupt, but there is a paragraph here that I meant to read but forgot. It was in this article. Article on Ynet. When Netanyahu was meeting with Trump last week, he said that these other countries and Hamas are playing games with Trump. Okay. So apparently, according to what this guy writing this article says, that this was actually the terminology that Netanyahu used in this meeting with Trump, and Rubio was there. Okay. Netanyahu told Trump that, you know, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, they're playing games with you, Mr. President, okay? And that's why we have to, you know, we have to abandon all of this talk about a ceasefire in Gaza, and we have to restart the war against Iran and all of the rest of that. Netanyahu specifically used that term, playing games, quote unquote, and Rubio in this press conference, in explaining what the president did, he said the president isn't looking for a fight. He's willing to get along with everyone. But don't play games with him. don't play games with this president because it will end badly. So Rubio used Netanyahu's own terminology that he used with President Trump just a week earlier. Okay, now, this paragraph here that I had meant to read, another interesting thing that this guy says, that apparently at this dinner that Trump hosted at Mar-a-Lago with Netanyahu there, Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, made a comment that Netanyahu was playing games with Trump and risked becoming like Zelensky. Okay, this came from Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, just a few days ago. And then Rubio goes in there and he uses the same terminology, playing games. So Rubio's statement, and folks, just for the record, okay, I'm not singing the praises of Marco Rubio. Okay, I know, we know what the problems are associated with Marco Rubio. Okay, he is a creature of the Adelson Empire. We know that. But nevertheless, right now he's working for Trump. Whatever he was before is immaterial to what he is now. He's doing what the president wants. So anyway, the long and the short of it, folks, once again, there is much more to this than what you're going to hear about listening to whatever your favorite podcast happens to be. You know, the Trump did this because he's owned by the Jews, because Netanyahu ordered him to do it, and all of the rest of that. Okay, well, maybe, folks, but maybe not. Maybe there's more to it than that. And maybe this was the president signaling to Netanyahu that this is what's coming down the road for him, towards him, if he doesn't start cooperating with what the president wants. Stas, your thoughts?
Trump's technique of using a dirty player is absolutely stressful to watch. It's incredible. We know Rubio is dirty, but he uses him like a chess. He uses him like a dirty knight.
Yeah, like he did Bolton, like he did John Bolton.
Like he did John Bolton.
And Pompeo.
And Pompeo. And they're running stories, of course, Rubio is salivating. He'd like to overthrow Cuba. He's Latino himself. He would like to be the strong man for Israel in the South. But he's still not the king. And he's still going to do what Trump says, which is massive. And I think he in Rubio's inner game, he would like to see and ride the president's coattails
sure.
for now.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah,
You know, as this is also a House of Cards, Game of Thrones, on an individual level, guys are looking to get power, not just the state actors. What the Israeli journalist has interestingly put, he's like Trump, Putin, and Xi. It's like relative to the big powers, you know, so Israel resents it, but they still have to sort of play that game as a small power that operates in the shadows, which I think they don't like. But you know, they're waiting for their kingdom. They're waiting for the Messiah.
Yep.
They don't like to play second fiddle to any Gentile government or king. So that makes them mad. But this guy is a realist in this article, and he has revealed that we could be next. It's astounding. Something that nobody would think. And all the pundits are thinking, you know, Trump has sold out for Netanyahu. And as we said on this broadcast many times, if he was with Mr. Netanyahu, what would prevent him from burning Tehran to the ground?
Yeah.
Or even, you know, we're on the verge. Maybe the Israelis are trying to pull a regime change in Iran. Well, why hasn't Mr. Trump pushed it? If he's such a slave, how hard could it be? Even now, Trump has to deal with the next phase of that. The Israelis have wisely pinned it to, it's not just nuclear weapons, it's ballistic missiles. They
right.
gotta go. And if it's not that, they'll go down to slingshots. Oh, no, it's not just handguns. They have slingshots in it.
Right, deadly, deadly, apocalyptic slingshots, just like David used with Goliath.
You could, take your plastic surgery nose job off with one of those rocks. What a weird thing to say.
Saz, that's a very racist, anti-Semitic thing to say.
I do apologize.
No, there's no reason to apologize. I'm saying that as a compliment.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a compliment. I'm saying,
Which is literally true. We know, even if they take out the ballistic missiles, he'll be on a few weeks later. That's not enough. These guys.
It's not enough. They're still breathing. Right. Yeah. They're still breathing. Yeah.
Or the underground tunnel from Tehran to Washington.
Right.
Don't let these men, and they can still walk.
Yeah.
They were going to launch from a mortar the electromagnetic weapon.
Mm-hmm.
They remember shows, I think on Fox News they were running that. Oh, yeah, the threat of Iran. For years, I mean, this guy's been trying to get us in. The way I circle around with my mind, it's like we've said a million times. We didn't know when a problem was going to come up. All of a sudden, we switch from Iran to Venezuela. That shows that this is a global war, that trouble can happen anywhere. And, I think also the destruction of the alleged drug boats is a message too.
Sure.
And what the difference is, everybody in the world can't talk about where the real fight is. It's between Netanyahu and Trump. It's not necessarily between Mr. Xi Jinping and Donald J. Trump, our president.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it is. It not necessarily is. Maybe we'll tangle with them in the future, but right now you got to believe that Vladimir Putin and Xi, they recognize the threat from State of Israel, even beyond President Trump. I'd go to say, let's accept the accusations of the Democratic Party that Putin is Trump's friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that Xi doesn't think Trump is all that bad.
Right, exactly.
They want to talk.
Yeah.
The Chinese, I think, have a different philosophy. They want to walk into ruling the world through working.
Mm-hmm.
They want to work. They don't want to fight. They want to build over the world with their people power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not so happy about the relationship between Israel and the rising power, India. I doubt they're that keen on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who are, because of their Hinduism, are joined at the hip pretty much with the Israelis.
Sure, absolutely.
So there's a counter thing, and it just, people, they're locked into Trump is under control. Even when he said, to my mind, I don't know what you thought, I thought it was an insulting remark to Marion Adelson. Who are you with?
Absolutely, yeah. Which country do you love more? Yeah.
I mean, that's like Napoleon asked the Jewish people, are you with us? And nobody got that. They're just like, He's controlled.
I know.
Which is, and also Jared Kushner in the article you just read actually sent out a little warning. Don't mess with Mr. Trump.
I think, Stas, I think the main thing that we're trying to get across to everybody is, folks, don't be goyim. Be Gentiles, okay? Now, you say to yourself, well, what's the difference? Oh, there's a big difference, okay? The goyim is the stupid sheep that just – I shouldn't say that because I have sheep and I love them. They're wonderful. Just the stupid livestock, the stupid donkey, okay, as Rabbi Ovadia Yosef compared us to before he died and went home to hell. The goyim is the stupid slave that swallows whatever is given to him, whatever information, misinformation, in order to colonize his brain and to get him to behave in the way that the Jews need him to behave. The Gentile is the one who says, no, I'm going to seek the truth because the truth is going to set me free. Now, folks, it may very well be that yours truly and my host here are totally off the reservation with the things that we've discussed today. Maybe there's not an ounce of truth to it. Maybe the president has caved and he's totally Netanyahu's slave. But don't you think it's worth a conversation in figuring out whether or not that's the case? Okay. And, you know, for practical reasons, you know, people would say, well, okay, well, what's the difference? You know, if at the end of this, the Jews are going to toss a lit match on the planet and incinerate everybody anyway, then what's the difference? Well, the difference is, folks, is that at the end of this, whatever does happen, you will either be able to live with yourself and say, hey, I did my best with the limited resources and the limited time that I had, and I didn't fall for any of the Jews' tricks, or you're going to have with that very painful understanding that you helped bring everything to this point by passing along bad analysis and bad information. Stas, we are at the end of our program here. It was a fantastic program, at least on your part. What do you want to tell the folks before we ride out into the sunset?
I think that I'm going with your line of thinking. I don't know if the Americans are going to be able to snatch Mr. Netanyahu, but they've put it on his mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of leverage and psychological games that goes beyond anything that is in fiction. This is way beyond House of Cards and James Bond. We hate to give predictions, but I think that if there is some action in Iran, look for Trump's people to take out the MEK rather than the Supreme Leader.
Mm-hmm.
Some
yep.
kind of trick. Mm-hmm. So there could mm-hmm. be some violence over there. Prepare yourself. And unfortunately, some innocents will
yep.
be killed. I don't think that CIA Director John Radcliffe is a Mossad note taker, like Judge mm-hmm. Freedom has said. Mm-hmm. I think that there's more than one CIA involved. I don't think he was involved in Operation Spider that we've talked about many times
mm-hmm.
in attack
mm-hmm.
Russia. I think there's two CIAs. I think there's two FBIs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not two Mossads.
No.
They are
no.
one. They are one
yep.
dagger.
Well, we'll know, Stas, we will know. We will know whether or not there's any merit to what we've discussed if we see Israel giving in to U.S. demands over the next week or two. Now, there have been a few news stories that I saw. One was Israel was going to open the Rafah crossing to let aid in because the Americans had pressured them to do it. But also, too, if President Trump invites Netanyahu to the White House and Netanyahu comes up with an excuse not to come, then we'll know that Netanyahu fears for his life and limb. He fears that he may arrive in the United States and will be met on the tarmac by federal agents who are going to put him in handcuffs and haul him off. If he turns down a request on the part of the president to visit the U.S., then we'll know that most of what we covered in the program today was on the mark. Stas, we cannot thank you enough. You are a credit to the nobility of Gentiles, and the world is a better place because of you being here.
Thank you. Look for Greenland to be being seized. No, just kidding. I'll just shut up. In other words,
well,
look for these distracting things. If they're really gonna do something wild like snatch Netanyahu, I think you will see some distractions that go along with it that
mm-hmm.
we would even think that it could be
yeah.
something like that. Even Canada getting rattled up or anybody, he's going to make everybody think that they're next, and
yes.
there'll be
yeah.
some kind of pretext to do this action. And it could be he might even have to pull it because of the false earthquake at the Al-Aqsa Mosque operation that's looming that might press the president to do stuff that has probably never been done in the history of the United States.
Yeah, and on this last note, we have to remember something, Stas, and to all of the listeners out there. Donald Trump fully intends to see Netanyahu removed from power. He made that statement very clearly in the aftermath of October 7th when he said that Netanyahu should be impeached and removed. But more important than that, he has to get Netanyahu out of office because he knows that Netanyahu is a lunatic and that he intends to incinerate the world, and he has the means to do it. So one way or the other, Trump is going to set things up, President Trump is going to set things up in such a way that Netanyahu is knocked off of his throne and that the button that that launches these nuclear weapons is taken out of his hands. Stas, fantastic show. Thank you. Hold on there for just a second. I'm going to close out, but I want to talk to you off the air.
Thanks.
All right, folks, that's it. You heard it here on this Monday, January 5th, 2026 edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. We're going to try, folks, to bring this back on a weekly basis. But like I said, you know, I know there's lots to talk about, folks, but as we have demonstrated on this program now on occasions too numerous to count, unfortunately, the things that you hear on this program, you don't really hear anywhere else. Okay? I hope I'm wrong, but I doubt that you're going to hear a conversation anywhere else like you just heard here. You know, theorizing that the real reason for pulling off this Maduro arrest was the optics and threatening Benjamin Netanyahu. And, you know, it takes time to put these things together in such a way that we can come on here and discuss them without sounding like we just escaped from the insane asylum. Anyway, folks, hope you all had a good Christmas. You know, Jesus is King, and 2,000 years later, that's still the case. Everybody loves him, folks. The Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, even the atheists and the agnostics, nevertheless, have good words for Jesus. There's only one group of people, folks, who to this day hate him with the same fury that they did 2,000 years ago when they were screaming for his crucifixion. And we'll leave it up to you to figure out who that group of people is. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, pray for a miracle and seek the truth, folks, because the truth will indeed set all of us free.